Jesus never claimed to be as such. Jesus never said whilst he was on earth, I'm a priest. He never functioned in that role. And so I think the argument of Hebrews is really important. 13 chapters packed full of describing Jesus as the high priest. So I think we're quite comfortable with knowing that Jesus is king. We understand that he isn't king like maybe Prince William will be in a royal physical sense. We understand that on earth he didn't have that role. But we do know that he is king over a spiritual kingdom. And I think the Jewish people expected their Messiah to come and to be king, to be from the line of David. And so I don't think Christians in the early church were confused about Jesus being king. But I don't think that the Jews in the first century were expecting their Messiah to be high priest. You see, throughout the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, king and high priest were very, very different roles. Both were submitted under God in service of the people, but their functions were really different. One was a political leader and one was a religious leader. And there are stories in the Old Testament where a king would rebelliously try and function as a priest and he'd get punished for it. So Saul impatiently sacrificed on behalf of Samuel and he got his kingdom taken away from him. There's a king called Uzziah, and he tried to offer incense in the temple, and he got leprosy as a judgment. And so the Jewish people understood that actually the roles of king and priest were very separate. So why does the author of Hebrews describe Jesus, who is our Messiah and who is the king, also as the high priest? So first we need to talk about who the priests actually were. Does anyone know what tribe the priests were from? Levi, and what tribe was Jesus from? Judah, not Levi. Interesting. Okay, so priests were from the tribe of Levi, and their role was to work in the temple. And if you're picturing someone wearing a dog collar and nice clean robes having this lovely religious role, think again, because they were kind of the holy butchers of their day. A lot of their job involved animals and sacrificing and blood. So think of kind of holy butchers when you think of the priests. So their role was in the temple, and they would offer sacrifices on behalf of the people. And the priests were kind of the buffer between sinful people and a holy God. So sinful people would come and give their animal sacrifices. The priests would go through the procedures of sacrificing that animal. And then the sinful person, would be made right with God. So they kind of, in a good way, stood between a sinful person and a holy God. So that was their role. They were the buffer. And there were lots of Levites and lots of priests, but there was only one priest at a time. So one day a year, the high priest had a role that all the other priests and Levites didn't have. And this was on the Day of Atonement. And atonement just means for someone's debt to be covered. And it was a festival that the Jewish people would celebrate one day a year. And it was this day of fasting. It was quite a sober day, a day of remembering sin, of confessing, but ultimately a day of corporate forgiveness, the Day of Atonement. And for 364 days of the year, there was a part of the temple that was closed off and off limits. And this is the inner sanctuary, the inner room, or the Holy of Holies. And you just couldn't go in there because God's presence actually dwelled in this inner room. And God is so holy that we can't come before him unless it's on his terms. And we'll just die. But for one day a year, the high priest was allowed into the inner sanctuary. They're allowed into the place where God's presence actually dwelled. And they went in and they sprinkled the blood of a sacrifice of a goat. By the way, sorry, this is quite a gory message. They sprinkled the blood of a sacrifice of a goat in the Holy of Holies, and all of Israel would be cleansed from their guilt. We're talking about national and corporate forgiveness, an awesome day in the Jewish calendar, a really important day. And so back to Hebrews. When the author of Hebrews calls Jesus the great high priest and not just a priest, every Jewish reader would start thinking about the Day of Atonement, this day of corporate forgiveness and cleansing. It's a day when all the people will be forgiven because a sacrifice happened in their place. All the people would be forgiven because a sacrifice happened in their place. Does that sound familiar? Because it should sound familiar. This isn't coincidental, these themes of sacrifice and corporate forgiveness and cleansing, because Jesus' sacrifice on a cross did that. Jesus' sacrifice meant that he became the ultimate source of atonement. He became the buffer between people like us and this awesome, fearsome, holy God. Jesus mediates, and he became the ultimate atonement, offering forgiveness for all. Hebrews is full of awesome verses, bite-sized verses. In Hebrews 9:11 says this: "When Christ came as high priest, he entered once and for all into the holy place, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption." You know, Jesus wasn't just like a high priest. That wasn't what the author was saying. The author was saying that Jesus is the high priest. He's the final high priest. For hundreds of years, God's people had to remember the Day of Atonement every year. And they'd have this epic day where they'd all be cleansed. And then for the rest of the year, they'd accumulate this guilt again. This sin problem wasn't solved. And they'd have to again and again have a high priest go over the same rituals. But Jesus eternally holds this role for us of mediating and making a way for us to be accessible, for us to access God. And something that really blows my mind is Jesus is not only the high priest in this scenario, he's also the sacrifice. How does that even work? We have no frame of reference for that. A hangman wouldn't create a noose and then slot his own neck into the noose. A priest wouldn't set up the altar and put the animals atop the altar and then just kind of climb on next to them. No frame of reference for a priest and a sacrifice, but Jesus embodied them both. And it changed everything. The blood of animals couldn't cleanse the sin problem, couldn't deal with the conscience of the people. But Jesus' blood was superior because it was better than these unknowing animals. And it provided this ultimate atonement, this ultimate covering of sins. So Jesus as the high priest is awesome. Yes, Jesus is our king, but he's also the high priest. And through him, we're granted this access to God. And We relate to God through that access all the time. And I love Jesus as the high priest. And Andy asked me to share an application part today of my talking. And I think I'm just going to copy and steal what I think an application was for the letter of Hebrews that the author intended for the readers. And I think Hebrews was written to Christians who'd been Christians for a while, part of an established church, but ones who are really struggling with their faith. And the author of Hebrews wrote to them to encourage, don't neglect how important Jesus is as part of your faith and story. Jesus is fundamental. Don't put him aside and forget that he's the most important part. And these believers were in danger of neglecting Jesus. And the author used language saying, don't drift away from the revelation you've had. And there's a part of Hebrews which is quite sassy, and the author says you should be on solid food but you need milk, and he kind of slanders their spiritual faith and says you should be ready for more, for bigger stuff, to understand bigger things, but you're not, you still need milk, you still need baby food. And the challenge I want to give this morning is to be people whose faith continues to grow, who continues to move, that doesn't just coast, that doesn't just kind of get stagnant. And I think a way that we have faith that continues to progress is we need to continue to study who Jesus is. I think it's really important to relate to God in different ways out of adoration for him. So worship is so important. Prayer is so important. Listening to God is so important. But studying God is so important. Jesus is so worthy to be studied. And I think this test, the quiz we've done, might work in favor of this message, because I wish I knew more of those answers. But Jesus is such a worthy person to study. And so that would be my challenge this morning. Like the people of Hebrews were being challenged to have faith that carried on progressing, continue to enjoy learning about Jesus, to continue to sharpen your faith and cause it to grow and progress. And I said earlier that Hebrews is full of some of the most beautiful descriptions of the person of Jesus. And I want to give you a list now of just titles and statements about Jesus in Hebrews. So this is all from the text. So Jesus is a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God. He is able to help those who are being tested. He is the apostle and high priest of our confession. He is a great high priest who passed through the heavens. He is Jesus, Son of God. He is a forerunner on our behalf. He is faithful. He is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He is the mediator of new covenants. And he is Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I pray? Yeah. Father God, Jesus, our high priest, the perfect king, the perfect priest, the perfect son, the perfect sacrifice. Lord, you're so worthy to be thought of. You're so worthy to be meditated upon. And Jesus, you're everything. Lord, I pray that we'd have faiths that profess and realize that you're so central to everything. You're fundamental, Jesus. We can't put you aside and continue sprinting towards God. Jesus, you're integral. And Lord, I pray for each of us, for joy in studying you and learning more about you. Because studying you, we gain answers, Father, of why we're here and how we have been able to buy into something so good, so rewarding, so generous. And Jesus, thank you for everything you did. Thank you that you came to be the priest and the sacrifice, and you changed everything. So may we be a people good at worshiping you, but also a people good at studying you. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Amen.
Thanks so much, Beth. And we're going to sing a song as a response. It's a song that Beth suggested we might sing because it picks up this theme of what she's just been talking to us about. So let's do that together.